This, huh? Praise the name
Amen.
of the Lord. Hallelujah. My recorder don't seem to be working. There goes. So once again, we greet you in the precious name. I wasn't taping the service, but we greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, on this resurrection morning, Easter morning. So we'd like to start our service this morning by reading from Psalm 16. The book of Psalms 16. Just have to make sure. Let's read from, we'll read the whole psalm. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning, we like to open with a word of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, what a privilege it is, Lord, to come into your presence this morning, O Lord God, with the precious blood of the Lamb sprinkled upon our hearts, Lord. Lord, asking for mercy and for forgiveness for our mistakes, our faults, our feelings. There are many this morning. And, oh God, we thank you and praise you for keeping us alive, for protecting us, Lord, from all the things of the world that is going on, the peril, the sword, the danger, the harm, all these things that are going on, Father. You have watched over us.
Amen.
You have protected us. You have kept us, Lord. So this morning, we want to thank you. We ask you, Lord God, according to your word, if you could come down amongst us. Even as you said, Father, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. So, Father, this morning, we come to worship you. We come to praise you. May your Holy Spirit come down in our midst, Lord. Give us strength this morning. We are but nothing, Lord. We are but the grass, Lord, that withered away at the burning of the sun. But we are your children. We are your children, Lord. We are your sons and your daughters. And we see the times that are upon us, Lord. We recognize what is happening. So, Father, may you take the service, Lord. Bless all those who are on the internet, those who are connected on by the telephone hookup. Lord, and this morning we approach things with reverence, Lord, and praise unto you. Bless those who will come at the archives later on, O great almighty God, and listen. May the words quicken to their hearts. May you heal the people. May you forgive the people. May you bless them. May you have mercy upon them, O Lord, and bring them closer. May you wrap them up in your garments of love, Lord, because you are the only hope of this world, Lord. You're the only hope of every Christian, O Lord. So we cry unto you this morning. Help us this morning as we want to listen to your word. We sit at your feet looking upon your face this morning. Lord, may you bless us. May you accept our worship and praise, and may you pour out your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory and your honor and your praise. Amen. Oh, he is Lord, and he is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Every knee shall
will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, how good it is to praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's sing the song, My God is Real, Real in My Soul. Amen. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has cleansed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has cleansed and made me whole. Here for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. One more time. Oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has cleansed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My God is real. He's resurrected. And how do you know He's real? Because He's living in my soul. Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore. Let's sing the song, He Lives, He Lives. Sorry. Christ Jesus lives today. Amen. Oh, I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men would say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And every time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so living, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen, amen. Praise God, amen. Christ Jesus has risen from the dead and He's living in our hearts this morning. Amen. Oh, rise, shine, give God the glory, glory, rise, shine. Oh, give God the glory, rise, shine, give God the glory, O soldiers of the cross. Oh, and if you love Him, will not serve Him. And if you love Him, why not serve Him? If you love Him, why not serve Him, soldiers of the cross? Oh, rise, shine, give God the glory, rise, shine. Oh, give God the glory, rise, shine, give God the glory, soldiers of the cross. Oh, and if you who love Him, who will not serve Him, and if you who love Him, who will not serve Him, who if you love Him, why not serve Him, O soldiers of the cross? O rise, shine, O give God the glory, glory, rise, O shine, O give God the glory, rise, shine, give God the glory, O soldiers of the cross. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. O give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning. O give me oil in my lamp, I pray. O give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Keep it going till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep it going. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Keep it burning till the break of day. Oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hallelujah, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing the song, Victory in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. And then he repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is you him. Then plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love was due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything for you. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God can do anything for you. Oh, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything for you. Oh, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God can do anything for one more time. Oh, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything for you. Oh, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God can do anything for you. And he is mine everything. He is mine all. He is mine everything, both great and small. He gave his life
for me, made everything new. He is mine everything. Now, how about you? One more time. He is mine everything. He is mine all. He is mine everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is mine everything. Now, how about you? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we open the word. Father God, we feel your wonderful presence. We thank you for being here this morning. Father, we are about to read your word, Lord. May you quicken the word to the people, O Father God. O Lord, as we read that word and to bring, O Father, these few quotes that you put in my heart to bring, O Lord God. Father, may it edify us all, Lord. Even as your word always edifies, Lord. I am looking for something from you too this morning. We all are needy people, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord, with nothing in our hands we bring, but simply to the cross we cling. And we come because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we open your words, Father, this morning, may you take the word, Lord God, and quicken it to your people. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. We like to read from a few portions of Scripture. We like to read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and then verses 16 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and then verses 16 to 20. And then go back to Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. And then John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. So let us read this morning. Let us read this morning Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? Amen. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren
that they go unto Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's read from reading now from the 16th to the 20th verse. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he might show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, It shall be fair weather, for the day is red, for the sky is red. And in the morning it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowing. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And let's read the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. We like to read from verse 18 to 19. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 2, verse 18. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we read your word, Lord, and we are so blessed and quickened by the very word that we are reading, O Lord. Lord, where we see your resurrection, we see, Lord God, that they destroyed the temple. You raise it up within 3 days. And Father God, this morning you are alive and, Lord, with us. Father, we pray this morning that you send that Holy Spirit of anointing, of dynamics, to our mechanics and quickness, Lord. For we see the signs of the times that are around us. Be with us now. Bless those on the internet, Lord, and those on the telephone hookup, Lord, and those who would listen later on, Lord, to the archives and those who are here. May you bless them, those at the sound of my voice. May your Holy Spirit quicken them, change them, and transform them, that they be true Christians to serve you. Father, take these few words, Lord God, that I've put together by your grace, and may you quicken it to the people. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen. So this morning, for a title, we want to continue the seventh seal. This morning, we want to continue the teaching of the seventh seal. And last week, I must say that we were unable to have a service. And I thank you for your prayers that God has touched me. So I'm a lot better this morning. But God's grace to me this morning, amen, to heal me after what episode I went through last week Sunday. But it was His grace. So for a title this morning, The Seventh Seal Part 2, He is risen, the breaking of the seventh seal. He is risen, the breaking of the seventh seal. Amen. So this is the second part of the seventh seal. And brother and sister, Branham has preached the seventh seal and so on and said many things. No man up to today has really fully understand that whole breaking of that seal and what it means and so on. But we can take little pieces of what Brother Branham said. And before I continue to quote Brother Branham and his message, I'd like those who are not familiar with our broadcast and our archives, We want to let you know that we are a group of individuals here in New York, the New York area. My name is Brother Virgil C. Prasad. I'm the local elder here at Bride Age Christian Fellowship. We call ourselves a Christian fellowship because we believe we're in the Bride Age. We're in the overlap of the Laodicea Church Age into the millennium. And we're calling this the Bride Age because the bride is the center of that whole attention now. Amen. And that bride is Jesus Christ in her. And that is the mystery. So this morning we believe a message that was brought by a prophet, Brother William Marion Branham. That we believe that this message that was brought by Brother William Marion Branham is the forerunning message before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that this message of Brother William Marion Branham is forerunning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning, we challenge everyone. You go back in history since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul and Peter and these men. If there was ever a man like this man called Brother William Marion Branham, who performed signs, wonders, miracles, now remember it was not him, but was the Holy Spirit is in him. The Holy Spirit was in Brother William Marion Branham. He was visited by an angel in 1933 on the Ohio River. There he was baptized in the 17th person, and a ball of fire like a star appeared. Many people fainted. Many people screamed. But a voice came out of that star or that ball of fire and said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe it. There's articles in the newspaper of this mysterious light that was appeared on Ohio River. Amen. Praise God. And Brother Branham preached from way back in the 40s and the 40s all the way back to 1965. And I would like anyone to point their finger and say that this man was not divinely inspired of God. Because signs, wonders, and miracles and all his healings and so on is signs that follow a man's ministry to vindicate that ministry. Amen. So God came down and vindicated this man's ministry. Why? Because God has sent a messenger to prepare the bride of Jesus Christ for this final age, the bride age, to usher us into the rapture and to the millennium. So this morning you may say, well, Brother Branham was a man. Yes, Brother Branham was a man. Moses was a man. Didn't Moses make mistakes too? Didn't Elijah make mistakes too? They all made mistakes as human beings, as men. The only one that was perfect is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he was the great conqueror, the mighty conqueror. He conquered death, hell, and the grave this morning. So yes, Brother Branham was a man and made mistakes and failed the Lord. But you know what? His message stand sure. There are other mighty men that has come through all the ages. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columbia, Wesley, Luther, and Brother Branham. And in the age of the Pentecostals, men like Seymour and others, God have used them for a purpose. Remember, our God is an eternal God. There's no time with God. So God used men who are creatures of time to bring forth the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. And such it was that God has used Brother Branham. Praise God. Brother Branham was a signpost pointing to the coming of the Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't know much about Brother Branham, I have a lot to cover this morning. So I'm just pointing you back to the website www.branham.org. There you'll find a lot of Brother Branham messages. There you'll find a lot of his videos. There you'll find a lot of comments and so on about Brother Branham. This website is run by his sons, amen, Brother Joseph Branham and Brother Billy Paul Branham. And we respect them and we love them. We know they have gone through a lot to send this message out to every corner of the world. And God bless them. And if you can support, put your shoulder to the wheel and support this message, to send this message to some lost soul somewhere, God will reward you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this morning, if you want to know more about Brother Branham, please visit the website at www.branham.org. There you'll find a Voice of God recording. They are the ones that are publishing Brother Branham's message. And brothers and sisters, there will come a time when this, you know, things will be such a stage, and it's really coming up now with all this religious freedom, with all this, gay rights and all these other things that are going on, gay and lesbian rights abortion rights and all these sort of things that people say that they must separate state and religion. Or remember, it's going to come in time when we would not have access to this website. Amen. It's going to happen, brother. Brother Branham prophesied it's going to happen. Amen. These are the things. So while we have it, let's use it, because there's coming a day when it will be taken away. Amen. So praise God. So this morning, just to recap again, two Sundays ago we talked about the seventh seal. Two Sundays ago we talked about that scroll book, that seventh seal scroll book, and we explained the seventh seal, and we had so many quotes that we couldn't get to. And again today I can't go back to all those quotes, because this morning the Lord pushed me in a certain direction to talk about resurrection, to talk about the signs that are all around us. Jesus himself said, "Oh, you fools, can't you understand that the signs that are taking place all around you? You will look up in the sky and you would see that it's cloudy, and you say, it's going to rain. You would see a drop in barometric pressure, or a drop in temperature, and you would say, oh yes, there's a storm coming. And then the weather forecasters and all these people can plot where these hurricanes are coming and all these things are coming. But yet, we as believers cannot understand and see the sign of the time. God has sent a prophet. The prophet, according to Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. We have seen the sign. It has been manifested in the life of Brother William Marion Branham. We have seen the sign of Revelation 3:14, where God is speaking to the angel of the seventh church age. And the seventh church age is the Laodicean church age. He said unto the angel of the Laodicean church age, write, these things saith the Amen. And then he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the angel is saying unto the churches. Amen. There's only one angel. There's only one angel is a messenger. There's only one messenger to the Laodicea church age. And that was Brother William Marion Branham. And he fulfilled Revelation 10:7, where he said, but in the days of the voice of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he has declared unto his servants the prophets. So that angel of Revelation 3:14 must be a prophet. And that prophet must tie in to Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6. And must also tie in to Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. It must be a prophet. And what is a prophet? A prophet is a divine reflector of God's word. Amen. His very life would reflect the word of God. David was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. There were prophets all along, and they were direct reflection of God himself. Amen. And when God gets ready to speak, he prophet. And all the time, in the major junction of time, he will raise up major prophet. But along the ages, he has raised up minor prophets. When God is about to do judgment upon the earth, he will raise a prophet up to warn the people of the oncoming storm, of the oncoming judgment. Amen. So this morning, hallelujah, God has raised up prophets. And there are some prophets in the ministry of Ephesians 4:11, where some are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. God are raising them up to take Brother Branham's message, to take the word that was reflected to the prophet's message and bring it to the people. Amen. Why? There's a judgment coming. There are signs in the heavens. There are signs on the earth. There are signs all around in the ecclesiastical world of what is taking place with the Roman Catholic Church, what is taking place of the Presbyterian Church. Just recently, they have legalized, they have allowed their ministers to perform same-sex marriage in the Presbyterian Church. They have come a long way away from the original word that was given to the Canadian missions way back in the 1900s. Amen. Praise God. So the signs are all around us. Jesus said, watch at the signs. Amen. Brother Branham said, if you want to know what time it is, you watch at your watch. You see what time. You want to know what time, what day it is, you look at the week. You look at the calendar if you want to know what day it is. You will want to know if it's a Monday or Tuesday. You look at what? You look at the calendar to know what day it is. Amen. But if you want to know what is taking place in this world, you look at the revealed word of the hour and match it what is happening in Israel. And this morning, amen, hallelujah, what is taking place in Israel? That Israel is on alert, amen. They're worried about the nuclear bomb that Iran is trying to make. They're worrying about all this coalition of the Arabs that has now moved into Yemen and is fighting there. Now the Arabs, if they all get together, form this coalition, they are a mighty power. Amen. They're all concerned, amen. Israel is concerned. Watch at Israel. Watch what is taking place. Hallelujah. Watch the heavens, amen. Before God does anything upon the earth, God declares it in the heavens. Before God does anything amongst men, he makes sure it's written and revealed from his word. And he ties it together. And what the Bible says, that the Bible says in Joel, amen, that I will show you wonders in heavens and in earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And that's Joel chapter 2 verse 31. Here it's what's saying that the moon shall turn into blood. Amen. And that there will be darkness upon the earth before this great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. And brothers and sisters, there's a sign hanging out there. It's, and everyone is knowing it by called the four blood moon. And way back a few months ago, we spoke about it. I believe last year, we spoke about this four blood moon. And we type it as what is taking place now here in the upon the earth. And what does a blood moon mean? Joel says it's a sign. It's a sign that is going to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Amen. And then there was a solar eclipse where the moon blocked out the sun. It was dark for a certain period of time. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name. What is happening? What is happening is a sign in the heaven. Brother and sister, wake up this morning. Trim your lamps this morning. The time is at hand. Amen. Jesus said, consider the lilies. Do they toil? Do they labor? Do they do all these things? Consider the sparrow. Does he labor? Does he have to worry? No. But if Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God could take care of the sparrow, if God could take care of that lily of the field, then God could take care of you who is your son. He's a son. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. He will take care of every single condition in your life. If you are sick, he will take care of it. If you need healing, he will take care of it. If you are worried about this may happen to your children. If you may worry this might happen to your job. If you may worry this might happen to your house. Should I move? Should I do this? God will take care of it. Why? Because he has taken care of the sparrows. He has taken care of the lilies. God is on the scene. Just believe him. Just trust him. He is going to do all things. Go according to how you feel led in your heart, and he's going to take care of everything. Don't worry. Amen. He is going to lead you. He is going to guide you. Why? Because you are far more worth to him than the sparrow out there. He's concerned about every little thing out there, but you are far more worth to him than that sparrow or that lily out there. So there are signs in the skies this morning. Oh, hallelujah. And if you go to the Voice of God recording, Branham.org, you'll find an article there that they're talking about this blood moon, amen, the lunar eclipse. And yesterday, the 4th of April, was another blood moon that marks the third in a rare series of four lunar eclipses called a tetrad that fall on Jewish holidays, feast days, over 17 months. Now, this blood moon will be the shortest lunar eclipse of the four. Strangely, this blood moon yesterday, it took place on the fourth day of the fourth month and stay a total eclipse for a duration of 4 minutes and 44 seconds. Amen. What is it saying to me? Number four, Brother Branham says, is restoration. Number four, amen, is the Holy Ghost himself. Amen. It is justification. It is sanctification. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the fourth is the Holy Ghost himself. The number four represents the Holy Ghost himself. Amen. And we had in 14, we had a total lunar eclipse on the 15th of April, which was the Feast of Passover. And then we had a total lunar eclipse on October 8, 2014, which was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then we had a total lunar eclipse, praise God, yesterday. And that was on the Feast of the Passover. And the Feast of the Passover is a Feast of the Atonement. And September 28, 2015, we're going to have a total lunar eclipse again, a blood moon. And it's on February 28th of September 2015. And it's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And what does the Feast of the Tabernacles represent? The Feast of the Tabernacle represents the millennium with the Lord Jesus. So this is a sign, my brother. This is a sign, my sister. The time is at hand. This is a sign. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. He is risen from death. He has risen from the dead denominational churches in this world, on the ecclesiastical world. He has risen from the false vine. He has arisen from all those things that have bound him. All these 50 years since Brother Branham has died and gone, where he sent his message, when an angel walked upon the earth, Christ is risen this morning. He's risen in the hearts of the believers. He's risen in your heart this morning. He's not risen in some church, in some building, in some steeple. He is risen in the bride of Jesus Christ. He is risen. And what it is the seventh seal breaking in your heart this morning. Breaking as a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is not just only a man, but he is God himself. Because the Bible said the disciples fell at his feet and worship him. And Jesus did not say, oh, no. Don't worship me, worship God. No. Just like in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, you saw John fell at the feet of the angel to worship him. And the angel said, no, don't. Don't worship me. Worship God. I'm of your fellow brothers. But this man Jesus, when he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, they fell down and worshiped him. And the Bible says that you must worship God and God alone. So who was he? He was God himself. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is in your heart this morning. Amen. Continuing. Hallelujah. Reading from this excerpt that came from the this excerpt that came from Voice of God. Now he says the blood moon phenomenon has captivated much of the religious world. Many see the occurrence of four consecutive blood moons corresponding with Jewish holidays as much more than a coincidence. Since the first AD, this has only happened 10 times and only 3 times since 1492. Many are taking note that major events affecting the Jewish people have taken place in close proximity to all three of these tetrads. The tetrad of 1493 to 1494 was the Spanish Inquisition. the Tetrad of 1949 to 1950, Israel becomes a nation, 1948. The Tetrad of 1967 to 1968, the city of Jerusalem united after the Six-Day War. Now, if you want to see what day of the month it is, look on the calendar. If you want to see what day in the season is of the coming of the Lord, watch where Israel is setting. That's God's timepiece. Quote, Brother Branham, the mark of the beast, the seal of God, number 2. 1961, February 17th. Amen. The Middle East is in a tinderbox. This has been the case for decades. But there seems to be a shift in world politics concerning the relation between the United States and Israel. In fact, relations between the two countries have never been worse. Other countries are also distancing themselves from the Jewish state, to the point where Israel may very well find herself standing alone. Here are a few of the recent noteworthy occurrences. Relations with Israel and the United States are the worst in history. The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, addressed the Congress of the United States in March 2015 against the will of the President. Last month, the Prime Minister of Israel issued a call to all Jews living in Europe to immigrate to Israel because they are not safe in Europe. This wave of terror attacks can be expected to continue, including anti-Semitic and murderous attacks. We say to the Jews, to our brothers and sisters, Israel is your home and that of every Jew. Israel is waiting for you with open arms. This was flatly rejected by European leaders. On March 2nd, Israel Jewish court made historic ruling that Israel's police on the Temple Mount must follow all Jews to pray and read their Bibles despite violent Muslim opposition. And it gets better. And let's read from Brother Branham mentioning Blood Moon and what he does. We don't know if Brother Branham mentioned Blood Moon, but he does mention the Pope visiting Israel in 1963 and the connection to the eclipse of the moon. Shalom. January 12, 1964. Brother Branham, quote, "And isn't it strange that just before the Pope took his journey to Jerusalem that the moon in the heavens became a total blackout just a few days before he took it? His journey. He's coming here also." And I interject again, I think, believe next year the Pope is coming to America. I think it is September this year, I believe, or next year, I'm not so sure. "And he is coming here also," continuing the quote. "You know, see, now that's never been known, see? But what does it show? That this, he's doing this to win fellowship. As he met on the other day after he come into Jerusalem, he met the Greek Orthodox hierarchy. What does that reflect? Fellowship. They are wanting Protestants and Catholicism joining together, which they are doing and will completely do. And God reflected this to us in the moon of a total blackout by his grace and mercy." And Brother Branham, and the quote now from Branham.org, and we reported the first moon article, Blood Moons. The pontiff went to Israel in May 2014 and met with the Orthodox, the head of the Orthodox Church, to promote unity. The Pope visited Israel at the first blood moon, and he will be visiting the United States at the fourth. In recent news, the Pope has announced a visit to the United States this September. This visit will be at the same time as another total eclipse of the moon and the final of the four blood moons during Jewish feasts. The blood moon will take place September 28th, and the Pope plans to visit the United States on September 22nd to 27th. Further, he has accepted an invitation to address a joint meeting of Congress on September 24th. This occasion will mark the first time the head of the Catholic Church will address a joint meeting of United States Congress. And I interject here, my brothers and my sisters, where are we, oh backsliders? Come back to the Lord. The time is at hand. Don't you see the signs in the sky this morning? Don't you see the signs in the ecclesiastical realm, the church realm, with the Pope or what's taking place? Don't you see the signs on the earth that is shaking? The volcanoes are erupting. Oh, tsunamis and floods, and this great flood that went through Chile. Don't you see what is taking place, brothers and sisters? The time is at hand. Don't let this last shout, this last voice of the Brother Branham message that is echoing, don't let it be a time when you would not be able to hear it no more, that your air will be clogged up with the things of the world. Your air will be clogged up with your own ways. Your air will be clogged up with whether you want to do your job, whether you want to see this thing or do this thing, amen, or wrapped up in whatever in Hollywood. Rather go and do Hollywood things that seek after the face of the Lord, or Bollywood, or whatever it may be. Amen. Come back to the Lord, my brother, or be in some dance hall out there. Oh, hallelujah. But going down to this boogie-woogie type music, to this demon. Don't you know these are demons that are creeping into your soul? Come back to the Lord. The time is at hand. Do you want to go through the tribulation? Oh, I warn thee this morning in the name of the Lord. At the sound of my voice, come back, come back. My people, come back to the Lord this morning. Come back and he will forgive. There's blood in the mercy seat, but soon there will be no more blood on the mercy seat, and time shall be no more for the Gentiles. He'll only go back to the Jews. Amen, amen. It's hurting me this morning. I mean, this morning I have so much to do. But oh, let's continue on. It's continuing reading from what I got from Branham.org. Amen. A spokesman from the White House was recently quoted as saying, I can tell you that the president and his team here at the White House have been anticipating the visit from Pope Francis here in the United States for quite some time. And even as far back as the president's visit to the Vatican, where he first met Pope Francis, he talked about how eager he was to welcome the Pope to the United States. So the president is certainly looking forward to this visit. End of quote. And brother, and this quote here from this, and here we continue the quote from Branham.org, Blood Moon. Sorry. Sadly, quote, sadly, the Prime Minister of Israel did not receive the same welcome. At this point, you're probably shaking your head at astonishment of what this generation is witnessing. But we'd like to add another interesting fact into the mix. On March 13, 2015, the Pope declared a year of Jubilee. That is to start on December 8, 2015. Now consider this. If the Lord tarries, thousands of believers around the world will be listening together on March 13, 2015 during our own 50th Jubilee. We will hear the last sermon Brother Branham preach, Communion. We don't know what all these signs mean, but we believe that they are showing us that the end is close at hand. The partial lunar eclipse starts at 10:15 a.m. or 6:17 Eastern Daylight Time. The full eclipse will happen at 12 noon, 12 p.m., 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, followed by another partial eclipse at 1:44 p.m. or 9:44 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because it will be below the horizon, the full eclipse will not be visible in most of the United States. However, the further west you live, the more you can see. Alaska, Hawaii, Australia, Eastern Russia, and Indonesia could be able to see the entire eclipse. End of that quote from brother Branham, www.branham.org. So I pray that you go and visit it. You'll get the whole quote. You'll read it through. So amen. Praise God. So this morning, It's a privilege this morning to stand before you under the rising of the sun, the resurrection of the Son of God. He is risen this morning. And just as the Antichrist is on the rise, God is obligated according to His word to raise that standard, to raise the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the believer to another standard this morning. He is willing to come down upon the individual. My brother and my sisters, there's no more church or churchianity, as we say. It's the individual and the bride that makes up the church. It's now the bride of Jesus Christ. We are in the bride age, amen. We're in a short time. Look what is happening to the Pope and what is going on in this year. I thought it was next year, but it's this year, September. So let us trim our lamps. Let us keep our fire burning. Let us look onto the altar and finish our faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us lean upon the Spirit of the Lord. Let Him come into you and live in you. Amen. Let's read this morning. Amen. What Brother Branham is saying. Praise God of a sign that took place in 1963. Amen. The sign of the cloud. And there's many people that try to shoot down all this explanation and all this stuff. But Brother Branham completely explained it. Amen. Some people say it was some missile, was some this, or was the other. And Brother Branham didn't say, oh, but Brother Branham said in other places, it was not that exact day that cloud appeared. He said a cloud appeared about a week or so before he got into Sabinian Canyon. But when he got there, the angels were already upon the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The angels had already descended from heaven with the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had descended somewhere around February 28th. Amen. With a cloud. And he was waiting there in these angels in Sabinio Canyon for the prophet to come there. So the prophet must come. So the word of the Lord must come to the prophet so that he could reveal those seven seals. Let's read The Rising of the Sun, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Sunday, the 18th of April, 1965. Amen. This is about how many years ago? 50 years ago. Almost to the date. We're off by about 2 weeks. The Rising of the Sun, 50 years ago, my brother. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Quote, paragraph 5. I certainly deem this a marvelous privilege this morning to be back here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, with this great congregation, the church packed and standing all around and outside, and in the lots and everywhere, to you people on the phones across the nations. It's a beautiful morning here. 5 o'clock this morning, my little friend, a red-breast bird, flew up at the window and woke me up. Seemed like his little heart would burst, saying he is risen. I've always thought of this little bird as being a friend to me because I like him. As the legend about him says, a little brown bird saw him suffering on the cross where sin had placed him. Of course, the little bird had no sin. He didn't have to die for the little bird, but he flew into the cross and tried to pull the nails out with his little beak, and he got his breast all red. And that's the way I want mine too, as a shield of trying to protect this glorious thing that he died for. Realizing that our time is limited here, especially for those friends who are listening in by this telephone, I'd like to call your attention this morning to a picture that something that some time ago was taken by the camera of a vision that I had here at the tabernacle of leaving Indiana to Arizona, where I was to meet in the form of a pyramid seven angels, not knowing what would happen later when I got there, thinking it was the end of my life, that no one would stand the blast, and I'm sure all of you are acquainted with the story. And then in Sabinio Canyon, one morning like this, while in prayer, there had been a sword placed in my hand and said, this is the word and the sword of the word. Later, the angels appeared as was prophesied, and at the same time a great cluster of light left where I was standing and moved 30 miles high in the air and around the circle, like the wings of the angels, and draw into the sky a shape of a pyramid in the same constellation of the angels that appeared. Science took the picture all the way from Mexico as it moved from northern Arizona, where the Holy Spirit said it would be standing 40 miles northeast of Tucson. And it went into the air, and Life magazine packed the pictures in mystic something way in the spheres where there would be no moisture, where there would be no evaporations or anything, 30 miles high and 27 miles across, and coming right up through those where those angels were. And they asked to know science. The one of them in Tucson wanted to know any significance. And I didn't tell them. You all know, I told it beforehand, but it wasn't for them, it was for you. Paragraph 12. And so there he spoke to me and said, the seven seals will be open. The seven mysteries, sevenfold mystery of the Bible that has been closed up since the foundation of the world will be revealed. So here it is, Brother Branham saying that the angel in that dream told him, that angel's there in that pyramid told him that the seven seals will be open. And these were the seven mysteries, the sevenfold mysteries of the Bible that were sealed before the foundation of the world. Amen. Here's what he's saying. So how can someone say that the seal was not open? Brother Branham opened all seals. The Lamb himself on the seventh seal opened the seventh seal through Brother Branham. Amen. Praise God. He opened it up to Brother Branham. Amen. So all seven seals are open. It's just that we don't haven't caught the revelation of what is under that seventh seal. The seal was just a strap that when you pull it open, it reveals something. The seal was a binding thing that bound the revelation, that bound the book of redemption. Or when you pull that strap, we understand what that seventh seal is, but we do not know the revelation that was under that seventh seal. All we know that Brother Bram say, it was those seven thunders banging itself out together, seven thunders. Amen. Praise God. So the seven seals were revealed. Amen. Praise God. Continuing. And we yet a little humble little group compared with all the world. We have enjoyed these blessings. A hearing those mysteries. Marriage, divorce, serpent seed. And all these different questions has been completely revealed to us. Here he's saying it. Not by man, but by God himself. That's opened up these seven mysteries of what the church was, how it was in Christ in the beginning, and how it would be revealed in the last days. There it is, brother and sister. Here it is. What is the seventh mysteries of what the church was, and what it was, and how it was in Christ at the beginning, and how it would be revealed in the last days. So the seven thunders reveal those mysteries. And the seven thunders are those seven voices, amen, of God speaking in seven church ages, amen. Revealing what? Revealing the mystery of Jesus Christ, who he is. Here's Brother Branham saying it. I am not saying it on my own, brother. Here's Brother Branham saying it right here. And let's continue on. And now, as this went up, we have the picture outside on the plaque. But then I have the picture laying present here. Now he's interject here. Brother Branham, I seem to be losing my voice. Forgive me, my brothers, sisters. Catch my breath a minute. What Brother Branham is talking about here is that picture of the cloud that was in Life magazine. It was taken February 28, 1963. It's a cloud. Amen. My throat seemed to be going, but praise God. Touch me, Lord. Amen. So this morning, he's looking at a picture, and he's holding up this picture on the rising of the sun, and he's speaking to the people about this picture. Amen. Praise God. Here he says, thank you. Praise God. Amen. Here we say, he says now, paragraph 13. And now as this went up, he's talking about the angels going up, and we have the picture outside on the plaque, but then I have the picture laying present here. If you notice, as Life magazine had it, but I wonder if my audience visible here has ever really looked at a picture. See? See, in the way it should be. You remember, I was preaching when this vision came upon the subject of the book of Revelations, where the old judges, where we seen Jesus in Revelation 1, when he started to open the seven seals, or the church ages, rather, just prior to the opening of the seven seals, Christ was standing with the hair like wool, white. And I described that to you, that the old English judges and judges of long ago, when they went to the bench to be sworn in, their supreme authority was given them. They wore a white wig, as it was, over their heads to show their supreme authority. Well, if you will turn the picture like this and look, you can probably see it from the audience. It's Christ. See his eyes looking here, just as perfect as it could be, wearing the white rig of supreme deity and judge of all heavens and earth. Can you see his eyes, his nose, his mouth? Congregation says amen.
Amen.
Just turn the picture from this way, the way that they had it, to this way, the way it's supposed to be. And you can see it. Amen? He is supreme judge. There's none other but him. And that is a perfect identification again, a vindication that this message is the truth. This is the truth. It is truth. And making him not a third person, but the only person. And I interject here 1 minute. You turn the picture to the right, you'll see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ there. His eyes, his nose, his beard, you would see his picture. What was it? It's Jesus Christ once more coming with his angels. Amen? Coming upon the earth. February 28, 1963. Continue the quote, paragraph 16. With the white, see? You see the dark, his face, his beard, and his eyes? And notice, he's looking, from him comes this light shining on the right-hand side to which he's looking at. And on the cross, that's where he looked to. He looked to the right where he pardoned the sinner. In the light of his resurrection, we shall go forth in his name. I wish this morning that I had just much time to spend upon these phenomena that's beyond any shadow of a doubt been proven for the past 30 years or 35 years right here at this church, since down at the river, when that light came down there in Jeffersonville in 1933 and spoke these words as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your message shall forerun the second. We are at the end time and we see it. We wonder sometimes why it hasn't spread over the earth. Maybe sometime we'll have a chance to explain that. God's willing. End of quote. So what Brother Branham was explaining here this morning, he was explaining that cloud, and he was showing that in that cloud there is that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could really recognize it. Anyone could recognize it, the face of the Lord Jesus. And Brother Branham said that cloud made up his angel. So what are we seeing this morning on this resurrection morning? On he is risen. Amen. A message of he is risen. Now if you notice, when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a space of time before he saw his disciples in Galilee. He appeared to a few of them not too far from the graveside. But it took some time before he appeared to them in Galilee on the road to Emmaus. 1963, Jesus Christ, his face appeared in this cloud that appeared over Sabino Canyon and also in Arizona. What does this mean, my brother? It means that there's a sign that Jesus Christ has come. Amen. Come and is here amongst us in the form, Lord, what of the Holy Spirit? Now, he has not come with a corporeal body because that is not going to touch the earth. That's going to come in the rapture. But what is taking place? What is taking place? I believe 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is taking place. That Jesus Christ has come with a shout, with a voice of the archangel. We're waiting for that trump of God to sound where the dead in Christ shall rise. We are waiting for when we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. But we are in the process of the rapture. There's a rapture in time, Brother Branham talk about. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ came with seven angels. Amen. To break the seals. And now he has come amongst his people. As the breaking of that seventh seal. And that seventh seal must be broken in your heart. And that seal of the Holy Spirit must be the dynamics to your mechanics. Amen. This is what Brother Branham is saying. He's identifying that this was a vindication of his message. Rising of the sun. Morning service. The 18th of April 1965. Paragraph 37. And now the sun. At the rising of the sun, well, there was a time when the world was lain in utter darkness. It was without form and was void, and there was covered with water and was lying there in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water and said, "Let there be light." God had a reason to do that, for down beneath that water there were seeds that had planted, and it had to have that sunlight to make it live. And the first light was ever given on the earth was God's spoken word. The first light that was ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He turned the darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. Then the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion at that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation upon the earth, the sun rose and swept across, it raised and dried up the waters from the earth and made an atmosphere above it. And for its first time, it was to bring joy and life to the earth by a seed. It was a great hour. And oh, it was nothing. That sunrise, like the sunrise on Easter morning. This time when the sun leaping into the skies, it brought forth a greater sunrise than ever. Because it came greater news with the sunrise than it did with the sunrise at the beginning. This sunrise brought in news that he is risen. He is quickened from the dead as he has promised. He is risen from the dead. And the first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth. Mortal life. But this time, when the sun rose, there was a dual sun rising. Another sun rising. It was not only the S-U-N rising. It was the S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he had seen laying upon the earth. No more the bodily life lived back there at the beginning without the sun. Without a S-U-N to bring it to life. No more than today when sons of God is upon the earth. It takes the S-O-N, sun, light, to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundation of the world. He has chosen them in himself before the foundation of the world. And on Easter morning, then in this dirt somewhere laid our bodies at that time. For we are the dust of the earth. And in heaven, there was a book of memory. And his attributes was in him. knowing that because the Son of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was foredoomed to this great time. He knew it would be. And what a more glorious sunshine that was than it was at the beginning, at that time when it was first dawn. Praise God. And today we have tuberculosis, Easter seal. People send messages one to another. And now this great breaking of the Easter seal. And for doctors and medical science to work upon something to retard or to help the tuberculosis. Their seal that we call an Easter seal. When we send message one to another. But when we receive the message, the seal is broken. Because the seal is what got a message bound in it. And now the true Easter seal. As the sunrise was broken. And the secret of life after death was revealed. Before that time, we didn't know. The world groped in darkness. Groped around. Men's suspicion. Theories was among men's heart. Tradition make up. Man worship idols. They worship the sun. They worship all kinds of gods. And all kinds of people that make claims. They went into the grave and they stayed in the grave. But the real seal had been broken. The one who once lived, died as we die, was risen from the dead. What a morning. Never one like it. In all the history of the world, the secret was made known that he was both resurrection and life. Both resurrection and life. And he said, when he came forth on that morning, because I live, you live also. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seed that was resting in God's great promise was a benefactor of that resurrection to life. Because he said, because I live, he shall live also. That was the breaking of the seal. And I interject here, that, my brother, was the breaking of the seventh seal to see the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the resurrection and the life, the very life of Christ living in you. That was the breaking of the seal, continuing the quote. Because he was brought up, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. At this glorious sunshine, God had proven or vindicated his word. All glooms and doubt that had moved in people's minds was taken away because there was he who once lived, eat, drink, fellowship in mankind that said, I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to raise it up again. And now not only had he made the statement, but he proved it to be truth. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. And I'm sure this morning that we who believe it cannot comprehend excuse me, what a great thing that was because he raised from the dead. We also have already raised from the dead for we were in him. Now notice the gloom covered the earth and the seeds could not live without the S-U-N to rise. And gloom have covered the earth. And now the S-O-N was risen, and all gloom was vanished by this light as it spread across the nations to the people that he is not here, he is risen. And what a statement. He had proved his word. He had proved it to be true. For he had now conquered death, hell, and the grave. The trinity of the devil, death, hell, and the grave. For Satan is the author of death. He is the possessor of hell and also the grave. And that was the trinity of Satan being caused by that one thing that was death. Death, you go at the grave. And being a sinner, you go to hell. All the very one thing, the trinity of Satan, which was death, that had held man in captivity all these years. But now, the Trinity of God being one, manifested in Christ, who was life, and had broke the seals and conquered the enemy and rose up. And the one true and living God, I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. God in one made man and dwelt among us and conquered every enemy. And had proved that the Trinity of Satan was conquered. And that the Trinity of God was made known, because only God alone had power to bring life back again. He was that Emmanuel. God had been manifested in flesh. No wonder he could claim here in Matthew the 27th chapter, all powers in heaven and earth is given into my hand. I send you to be my witnesses to all the world. He had conquered both hell. He had conquered both death, hell and the grave. Not only did he do that and come out triumphant with all the power in heavens and earth, all that was in the Father and all that was in the Holy Ghost and all that ever was in him. All powers in heaven, in earth is given unto me. Everything else is powerless. He had conquered it all. End of quote. Amen. So we see this morning the mighty conqueror, the great eternal one, the great God of heaven coming in human skin, laying down his life and raising it up again. For he is the only one that can give life. So because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you rose with him on Easter morning. When he rose out of that grave, you rose with him. Your bodies were already on the earth, but you rose with him. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O hallelujah, Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He is risen this morning. He is risen. Let him rise up in your soul. Let him take control of that control tower in your heart this morning. That he could ride you into the resurrection, into the rapture, and then out in Revelation chapter 19, coming back to conquer the earth, to subdue it for the millennium. Let him ride you this morning. Hello, amen, in your heart. Let him take control of your mind. Let him take control of your body. Let him take control of your spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Time is at hand, brothers. Time is at hand, sisters. We coming down to the end. And there's so much I could read. I'm only on page 6 of 38 pages. But again, brother, maybe there may be a part 3 of that seventh seal. So we are talking about he is risen. And who is he? The mighty conqueror. Who is he? The great God of Israel manifested in human skin. Who is he? He called us his brethren. Amen. He said, tell my brethren, I'll meet you in Galilee. And where is Galilee this morning? In the New Testament there, when he was speaking to them, Galilee was a physical place. Today he will meet you in his revealed word for the hour. If you step out of that word, you're stepping out of Galilee. Then you would not be able to see him when he appears. Amen. You will not be there. Amen. You must meet him in Galilee. And Galilee is the revealed word of the hour. And what is the revealed word of the hour? The message I was brought by Malachi 4. The message I was brought by Revelation 10:7. The message I was brought by Revelation 3:14 and 3:22. What is that revelation? It's a revelation that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Christ is the mystery. That's why heaven was so silent about. It was the unfolding of Jesus Christ, the mystery of God. Amen. That the whole world was hushed. Amen, amen, amen. Everything was quiet. Not a movement in the sky. The breaking of that seventh seal in the hearts and minds of the believer. Then God, man becoming like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man becoming the Word of God. Now they are not God, but they are becoming the Word, amen, because they are part of God, amen. Yes, semi-gods, and you, my brother and sister, shall become the Word of the living God, being made manifested upon the earth. No, it's not you, but it's that Word seed that was in you, that was there before the foundation of the world, when the morning stars sang together. And the sons of God shouted for joy, oh morning stars, you were singing together. Why? Because there's only one morning star. And that morning star is Jesus. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the fairest of the thousand. He is risen this morning, morning star. Let the morning star of the Lord Jesus Christ rise up in your heart this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I'm having a time this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. Oh, you might be sick this morning. You may be tired and feeble and weary. You may have kidney problems or heart problems or high cholesterol or diabetes or high blood pressure, whatever it may be. This morning, He is risen. He is a conqueror of heart disease. He is a conqueror of diabetes. He's a conqueror of high blood pressure. He's a conqueror of cancer, tuberculosis, pains, neuropathy. He's a conqueror of arthritis. Behold the mighty conqueror. He is risen this morning. Your stomach problem will leave you because Christ is risen. Let Him rise up in your heart. And when He rise up in your heart, He will touch every part of your body. Amen. The mighty conqueror. He is risen. No death could hold Him. No grave can hold Him. No man-made tomb can hold Him. No Roman soldiers could hold Him. No ecclesiastical, denominational demon spirits could hold Him. He knocked on the door of hell. And He grabbed the... And they were wondering, who is this knocking at the door? And the door flung open, hallelujah. And there was the mighty conqueror, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And He grabbed this key away from Satan. What keys did He grab away from Satan this morning? Death, hell, and the grave. He took away the key from Satan this morning. And He said, because I live, he shall live also. And what was happening? He was raising up. He was coming out of hell. He was coming out of hell. And He was now coming up to the rising of the sun. He was coming up as the rising of the sun. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And now He was on the way to the resurrection morning. He was on His way to take up that body that He has laid down. He was on His way to rise up. And He make a whistle stop. He went into paradise. Glory to God. And He emptied paradise. And there what David said, oh, that's the one I was talking about in Psalm 16. I will not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He passed through paradise. Abraham said, oh, that's the one. That's Melchizedek. Now it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Daniel said, oh, that's the one clothed in linen, the Ancient of Days. We see Adam, and Eve said, oh, that's the one. Glory to God that walked in the Garden of Eden and consoled us and talked to us. That's the one, amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, amen. Oh, glory to God, amen. I'm excited this morning. So many quotes to read, my brother. But we were quickened. This resurrected Christ is there to quicken you to same that send that same life and power that He rose from the dead to quicken you. Amen. Let's read. Amen. The rising of the sun. Morning service, the 18th of April, 1965. Jeffersonville, Indiana, Sunday. Paragraph 54. And now, and then, not only that, He sent word to His disciples, His believing, fear not, for I am He that was dead and is alive again forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. I've already conquered it. Don't fear anymore, for every foreordained predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth. of the glorious gospel. In every age, it will bring forth that crop that God ordained it to do. He had raised from the dead. Amen. And what a wonderful thing that is. I am alive or quickened. And the word means, the word quickened and the Greek word means that there's something that's made alive after death. Like the seed that goes into the earth. It has to die. Every bit of the seed, it was to rot. Every bit of that seed and every bit of the life that was in the seed has to come forth again. He was quickened. Not only that, and will send the same life that quickened me, the power that brought me from the grave, I will send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, ye will be also. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Paragraph 59, he come to redeem or to bring life those predestinated seeds that God has seen before the foundation of the world and put their names in the book of life. And here they are on the earth without a hope. He come not only to be the blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. And now that if that seed wasn't on the earth, it could not live. It had to be on the earth and also germatize. No matter how long it's kept in darkness, it will come forth where the S-O-N's rise shines upon it. Notice now, he comes to share it with us. End of quote. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So when's that Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rises, he is risen. He is risen. When he rises, that very Spirit that quickened that body to bring Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. That very same Spirit, amen, will quicken you this morning, change you this morning, transform you this morning. If you will believe. Now you said sometimes, oh, I'm wondering. I hardly see people falling after the Lord. They're all in denominational churches and they believe in this and they believe in that doctrine and they believe in this and that and the other. And you're wondering, Lord God, it seems to be we are the only ones that are holding on to the Brother Branham message and the prophet message. But God have his hidden ones somewhere. He has 700 that are sealed away and waiting and are crying out to him day and night, who have not followed after some frivolous doctrine or have not gone after some fable, but they're holding on to the prophet message. They're living the prophet message. They're reading the prophet message. They're living it. And Christ is working with them in a quiet work. Amen. It may seem that nothing is happening. It may seem that nothing take place. But when you plant a seed in the ground, it has to be watered by the Spirit. It has to swell. It has to rot. It has to grow. It has to push. It has to take moisture in. It takes moisture in. Now, if you go and try to dig up that seed, it would not grow. But you leave it just right where it is. And in a few days, some seed may blossom in 3 days, a week, wherever it may be. If you plant it in the ground, it takes a while before it grows. And then when it grows, you see a little itty bitty piece of green looking grass. But that same, let's say it's a corn. Let's say if it's wheat, amen. That little itty bitty gray, that little piece of green leaf that you're seeing has the potential of make or giving bread to the eater, amen. Praise God. So it's potential. But it must grow. Water must fall upon it. So now we are not seeing much that has taken place. But one day, my brother and sister, God is going to come down in the scene in the baptism or refilling of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to quicken you. You're going to feel a change in your body. You're going to feel a change in your soul. You're going to feel a change is going to sweep over you. Brother Branham says the Spirit of the Lord is going to sweep over you. And that word seed that is in you, it will your body will revolve around it and your body will be changed. It's going to take place this morning. It's going to take place, brother. It's going to take place, sister. It's happening. You're going to be transformed. You're going to be changed. You're going to be caught up, amen, in that everlasting gospel, that word. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, he has not forgotten you. He has not turned his back upon you. Sure, you're going through a hard time now. Sure, you're looking around and you don't see how certain things is going to happen, how certain things are going to work. You don't know, brother. No one knows. He knows all things. And wouldn't it be the best thing to do is to put your life in His hands? Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to get a house sold, Lord? Am I going to get a job, Lord? Am I going to feel better, Lord Jesus? What is going to happen? What am I going to do? Am I going to get a house? Do I have to move? What about my job? It's so much problems in the job. You have to be so careful how you speak to people. All these gays and lesbians and all these people out there and they're going around and flaunting their way of life and actually almost throwing it in your face. And you as a Christian must wait and bide your time and say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. And you pray for them. And what is happening, brother? The squeeze is coming. And if you know businesses that refuse to cater for same-sex or gay and lesbian community, they say you're discriminating. Brother, there's a big difference between discrimination between color and gay and lesbian and all that other stuff. Homosexuality and all this thing. There's a big difference. Big difference. But we are not here to preach on that this morning. We are to preach on He is risen this morning. And His Spirit is here to quicken you. And you reckon your spirit dead. And He comes in you and lives. And that gospel light of resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How do we know He was Christ? Because He proved. And what He talked about. He proved His word. Amen, amen. Praise God. Rising of the sun, paragraph 73. Oh, on Easter morning, not only did He raise, but His beneficiaries raised with Him. They were in Christ at His crucifixion. They were in Him at His resurrection. We are His beneficiaries, quickening after being dead in darkness. Let me just interject 1 second here. Here, Brother Branham is saying that when Christ died, we were in Him at His crucifixion. When He rose again, we were in Him in His resurrection. What is that saying? We are being quickened from being dead in darkness. Continuing the quote. The dark world of unbelief, where churches and denominations and so forth has drawn us out. And there's something in us saying, oh, we want God. We are hungering and we are thirsting for God. We join the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians and what more. And still there was something wrong. We just couldn't find it out yet. And all of a sudden, while we were groping in darkness, the great resurrection came to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. And I just stop here 1 second, end of quote. And you were groping in your darkness, whether you were Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, whatever you are, you knew that something was missing in your life. And then one day the word of the Lord from the prophet message struck your heart. You knew this is the truth. Something stirred in you and you know this is the truth. You said, I want more of this. What was it? It was light striking that seed, the Son of God raising up, striking that seed that is in you. You know you could have never been the same since that day you first heard the word of the Lord and the Spirit touch your heart. That you could have never been the same. Amen. Such it is. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living in you. Amen, amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. There's so much more we could talk about. And we see this. The time is run away in us. Let's just read. Go tell my disciples. Praise God. Jeffersonville, Indiana. Sunday sunrise service. The 5th. Oh, isn't that? Is this morning? 1953. The 5th of April, 1953. Let's read it. Amen. Go tell my disciples, Jeffersonville, Indiana, paragraph 12. Now, as it was written in the paper, now usually on our Sunday sunrise service, we usually have a song or two and place the time here in the tabernacle. And if there would be some visitors with us, well, most of our time here is on the word. We are great people to believe the word of God. Fundamentally, I think that's the track and that's the right, that's a place that's right. And today I have some very vital things I want to speak of the resurrection. Some fundamental things, fundamentally things. And I want to jot some things down myself as I go along. First, let's turn over in the scripture in Matthew 22, and begin with the 41st verse. I want to read a text of scripture, then over into resurrection. My theme of the service this morning lays here. While the Pharisees were gathered together, I beg your pardon, I turned to the wrong place. Matthew 23, just a minute, I believe. Okay, go tell my disciples that I'll meet them over in Galilee. All right, sir. Now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made a commission here to these poor women after his resurrection, what he was to do. He was to tell them that he was going to meet them in Galilee, where he promised them that he would appear to them and that he would be forever with them. Now, in the 28th chapter of Matthew, and beginning with the 7th verse, we read, "And go quickly and tell my disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before me into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I've told you." It was the angel's message to the women, to Mary, the two Marys. It was on the first Easter morning. The glorious tidings had been wrung out. When he lived here on earth, he walked as a man. He looked like a man. He had all his outward being as a man. Yet, inwardly, he was more than mankind. He was the Emmanuel. Today is a memorial of the greatest event that ever taken place in all the world. There never was a man outside of this man, Christ Jesus, who said, "I have the power to lay my life down and have power to take it up again." Confucius, yes, and Muhammad, and Buddha, and many of the others were great philosophers. But when they died, that settled it. They were finished forever. They buried them, and that's ended it. But this man had power to lay his life down and to raise it up again. The only person that could do it. The only one that has ever proved that he could do it. Now, there's been the fear of man down through the ages was death. Every man that come into the world always feared death. We have had Napoleons, we have had Hitlers and everything. And when it comes to the hour of death, every one of them shrink. I've heard man speak and boast of great blasphemy things. But when it comes to death, everyone shrink back. Like Bob Ingersoll, the great noted infidel, when he took his watch out and he held it out to his folks and he said, "If there is a God, I'll die in a minute from the tick of this clock." But then after a minute passed, he never died. He made a great big ha 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 and word and said, "You see, there's no such thing as God." And when, of course, that was only to fulfill scripture. The scripture said that scoffers come in the last days, and we have them. And he said, "Now see, there's no such thing as God." But in the hospital room, when he was dying, where many had gathered to see what would take place, he screamed, "Oh God, have mercy on my soul." My father was a very personal friend, or an intimate friend rather, of a noted infidel. And he said there is no such thing as God. He cursed the very thoughts of God. His wife would hook up the buggy and go to church, and he would go out and plow his corn on Sunday and everything, just to show there was no such thing as God. One day, he had just put up his wheat, and it got all shook up. Lightning struck it, burnt it. He got out there and raised his hand and cursed the very thoughts of God. And when he did, then lightning struck his barn when he had some fine racehorses and killed them, everyone. And a few weeks after that, he set in with walking typhoid fever and died, while my daddy helped hold him into the bed. And he screamed and cried, and the devils with chains wrapped around him was coming after him and everything else. And when he went to go out, he called his family together, his little children. He said, don't go the way that your daddy's gone. Go the way your mother's goes, for that's the way of life. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. And I have a book at home, gives a testimony of many outstanding men, such as the great queens of England and some of the other men. When they were stepping out into debt, they screamed and cried. And Queen Elizabeth of England said, if I only had, I'd give my kingdom if I had 5 minutes more of life, that I could make my repentance and my heart right with God. And another noted man said, I'm stepping out into darkness. I know not where I am going. I could. And another great atheist spoke and said, there seems to be two walls. And I scream, just an echo from wall to wall. That's all he could hear. He had put off the day of salvation until it was too late. And then I think of that great noted man who died believing on our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I think of D.L. Moody at his death. A lot have said, why is this death? Moody said, this is my coronation day. And I thought when John Wesley, when he was dying, when Abraham Lincoln was shot and was bleeding to death, laying in a place, passed by the museum over Illinois some time ago, I seen an age-colored man with a little ring of white hair around his head, walking around looking. And after a while, he stopped and tears ran down his cheeks. He backed off and started saying over a prayer. I watched him for a few minutes. I was walking around too, so I walked over and I said, Uncle, what's the matter? I noticed you praying. He said, look, lying there. I look and lying there, the only thing I saw was a dress. And I said, the only thing I see is a dress. But he said, sir, and he said, beneath my coat is a scar of a slave belt. He said, and that's the blood of Abraham Lincoln. He said, it took the blood of Abraham Lincoln to take that slave belt off of me. And I thought, if I could excite a colored man because of that blood of Abraham Lincoln, because if it could excite a colored man because of that blood of Abraham Lincoln, because it taken his slave belt off of him, what ought the blood of Jesus Christ mean to the believer? When we look back to Calvary and see there that he had taken the slave belt of sin from our hearts and freed us, that what we've been talking about the last few nights, what a difference it was. Abraham Lincoln, when he was dying, he had an alternate. And when he was shot there in the great cathedral and he was dying in his bed, he said, turn my face towards the setting of the sun. The sun was going down on evening. A. Lincoln was breathing and the blood gurgling in his lungs. He's always trusted God. He said, hold up my hands. And he held up his hands. He said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Paul Rader, a bosom friend of mine, wrote my theme song, Only Believe, was dying yonder. He just leaned on his shoulder, head over on the shoulder of my manager, Mr. Baker. He'd been a gallant man who had traveled the seas and overseas and everything. And he got mixed up out yonder and got mixed up with some fundamentalists. And his message just worried him to death. And when he was dying, he was laying in the room near death and was struggling up close. And there's the victory of a man. He has always been a great cut up. Paul was. As many as they know, he had the quartet from the little Moody Bible Institute down there. And they had the shades pulled down over the windows. When he was going, he raised up and he shook his head. He said, who is dying? You or I? He said, raise them curtains, and sing me some good, lovely resurrection gospel songs. And they began to sing loud. He said, where's my brother Luke? Brought his brother. Luke went with him like my boy goes with me and so forth. Luke was in the next room crying. Luke came in, big, great-shouldered man. Probably you know him. Him and Mart, Sunday, and all of them up there. And when he turned around, he took Luke by the hand and said, Luke, we've come a long ways together. But think of it, in 5 minutes now, I'll be standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness. Lives of great men all remind us. We could have our lives sublime with parting leave behind us. Footprints in the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another sailing over life's solemn main with a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. I think of the Psalm of Light, that great English poet Longfellow. When he wrote it, I stood by a grave a few months ago. I thought of his great poetry and what he gave to the world. In life, the Psalm of Life was one of his favorite. Death always was a fear. Man feared all from the beginning. Way back from the Garden of Eden, man feared death. I think of the prophet Job. And I could continue on seeing that time is running on us. But what Job said, right in the midst of Job's distress, right in his darkest hour, Job, the clouds rolled back, the darkness rolled back, and Job saw the Messiah. He saw his Redeemer. He said, though the skin worms shall eat me, yet in my flesh I shall see God and no other. I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. He saw resurrection. He saw the life. He saw Jesus Christ, his Redeemer. And David said in Psalm 16, he said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. He foresaw Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the psalm we read this morning. And Abraham knew, he knew that when he met Messiah, he met Melchizedek, changed into a young man once again, he knew one day, though the skin worms eat him also, he shall come back to life and dwell in that city. Go tell my disciples, Sunday, sunrise service, the 5th of April 1953, paragraph 58. Then when along came Jesus, they done to him what they said they would. When he was born in Bethlehem, he came in by the way of a stable door, went out through capital punishment. While he was here on earth, he never made a 50-mile journey in his life. He never went anywhere around Palestine, yet the message of his gospel has traveled to every crack and corner of the world. He never wrote a book in his life, yet the book was written of him, has outsold every book in all ages, the Bible. And he had never went to a college in his life, and yet there's been more colleges erected in his honor than any other thing that has been upon the face of the earth, or any other name or any other man. And he never went very far. He lived an humble, low life. He was made fun of, scoffed, laughed at. And he said he had the power to lay his life down and the power to raise it up. Any man can make boasts like that. Anyone can. But he proved his contention when he rose on Easter morning. And they pierced his hands and his feet and his side and thorn a crown on his head. And he died yonder screaming for mercy at Calvary. But when he was on earth, he looked like a man. He acted like a man. But when he died there on Calvary, he screamed for mercy like a man. But when he rose up on Easter morning, he proved he was more than a man. He was God. He had power to lay his life down. End of quote. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead. Amen. Risen from the dead, praise God, hallelujah. The only one who made a claim, he said, destroy this body. And I'll build it up, I'll raise it up within 3 days. He was the only one that proved the Messiah, lay his life down and raise it up back again. Amen. I have to skip all these pages. This morning, there's so much more we could talk about. But, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's so wonderful to keep talking about the Lord. I'm trying to get the closing. Oh, the closing prayer itself is so many pages. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's wrap this up in a few minutes. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just keep your eyes on the resurrected Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a deep that calleth to a deep. There must be a deep to respond. Because there was a seed of God that was in you. There had to be a God that will come down and confirm that word and quicken that seed that is in you. Just as, you know, it is the Holy Spirit that drives the believer. Amen. Just as Anna, remember Anna in the temple. Amen. The blind Anna. But she had a revelation that she would see the Christ. And then when she heard that cry of the child, she was led by the Holy Spirit. And she met the baby in the temple. And then there was another man called Simeon. Oh, they call him a crackpot. They say, are you crazy? Years and years has gone by. We ain't going to see the Messiah. You say you're going to keep your eyes going to see the Messiah. But he knew deep down in his heart, the Holy Spirit had gave him a promise, had quickened it to him. Amen. That he knew, that he knew, that he knew that he would see the Messiah. And when that baby cried in the temple, oh, Simeon went and saw the child and said, my eyes have beheld the salvation of Israel. Oh, blessed now can your servant and depart in peace. What was it? It was God, the Holy Spirit, confirming the word that this was the Christ, that this was the Messiah. And so it is this morning. He is risen, confirmed by his word. You have seen all these things that has taken place and has happened in all these 50 years since the prophet was with us. Amen. Events that are made clear by prophecy. Believe this, my brother. It is taking place. We are the end time. Amen. We are at the end time this morning. Praise God. Amen. Events made clear by prophecy. Jeffersonville, Indiana, Sunday, the 1st of August, 1965, evening service. Paragraph 125. And here's another thing they had done, you know. They had a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being vindicated. I'm sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paragraph 124. Then that messengers came down at the tomb this morning was right. He is risen from the dead. He is alive. He is the messenger. Why? Don't fail it. His action, his ministry, and everything he's done had been vindicated. Exactly the words that the prophet said would take place for this day. That's done it. Then they know that it was him, their crucified friend Jesus, that had done it. No wonder their hearts burned within them as he talked to them on the way. Now they had walked 6 miles and it seemed like a short time. And here's another thing they had done. You know, they had heard a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being vindicated. That's what he talked to them along the road. Just as soon as they started down, he stepped out, for he was right there at Jerusalem. 6 hours later, 60 furlongs, they were right down there the road, 6 miles to Emmaus. That's what it is. And he had preached, confirmed prophecy for 6 hours. Don't condemn me on my three then, Brother Bram said. No, notice, they had preached. They had heard a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being confirmed, vindicated. Now it was getting along towards evening time, you know. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was then that he opened their eyes to know that it was Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the evening time, events are made clear by prophecy. That's what taking place in the modern hour that can easily be identified if you will just believe the prophecy for the hour. I interject here. Remember the signs of this 4 blood moons we talk about. Remember the signs of the eclipse of the moon. Remember the signs of what taking place out in Israel. Remember where the Pope is visiting America in September this year. These signs, my brother. Continuing the quote. Paragraph 126, last part. What's taking place in the modern hour can be easily identified if you'll just believe the prophecy of the hour. Yes, fools, slow of understanding, slow to believe. You keep pondering over it. To believe, that's all the prophet said about the Messiah. Wouldn't it have to happen? No, he checked these points all back and showed what the prophet said would happen. Then they begin to understand. Then he said, act like he was going to go on by. They like this man. They said, you've given us something. We never thought that he is alive somewhere. They were talking to him and didn't know it. So no doubt he looked at them sadly and he started to walk by. But he was waiting for them to invite him. And that's what he's waiting for tonight, for you to invite him. And notice, when those disciples invited him to their fellowship around their table, it was then that he done something just like he did before his crucifixion. And their eyes were open. They knowed his manner, his style. They know that what he had done. And he did then just like he did before. And he said, that's him. And they said, that's him. And quickly they raised up to scream it out. And he vanished. And where they took 6 hours to listen to his sermon, maybe 20 minutes, they were light-footed back to tell the rest of them, he is risen indeed. He is really alive. Friends, now here's what Brother Branham's saying. I interject here this moment. How do you know it is the Lord Jesus? How do you know it is the one that has raised from the dead? How is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How do you know it is him that is risen? Is when he's revealing the word to you, when he's breaking the bread to you, when he's having communion with you, when he's talking to you, he's leading you, he's showing you out of the revealed word of the hour. That's when you know it is him. Continuing the quote, praise God, he is risen indeed, he's really alive. Paragraph 129, friends, listen closely, Brother Branham says here, this is the fulfillment of Malachi 4, St. Luke 17, St. John 15, so many Revelations 10, and so many prophecies that could be pinned exactly to this day. And also in the book of Mark and in Matthew, where he said these great signs and wonders will appear in the sky. And people shall call them saucers, flying saucers, can vanish with the power and the quickness of a thought. Intelligence that can move in it. He can write. He can speak. He can do whatever he wants to. The great pillar of fire. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And sights coming down upon the earth. Pyramids of smoke rising into the air. Way above where there cannot be no humidity or nothing. 30 miles high. Predicted a year and a half before it happened. And it would be that way. Then turn the picture and see who it is looking down. Not one word has ever failed that has been told. And here is God's written word confirming it's the truth. And it's the evening time again. I wonder if he would return by grace tonight and do something like he did, as he has done there. Let's pray and ask him. Events made clear by prophecy. And Brother Bram says, I'm looking. What time is it? I've heard my watch alarm. It's past time. He's raised from the dead. He is alive. What is the message today? Come, believe, go tell others that he's risen from the dead. He's alive. And he appears to the elected church tonight as he appeared then. And I've always told you that God is infinite and cannot change. And if that was his attitude towards the world then after his resurrection, it's the same thing today. And Jesus witnessed the same thing by saying, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Let us pray this morning. Praise God. Let us pray. And we're going to read from the greatest news flash in history, Chicago, Illinois, Monday, the 24th of April, 1961. We're going to read paragraph 24, and we're going to read the prayer of Brother Branham. And then the deep call it to the deep, paragraph 16. Which is 24th of June, 1954, Washington, D.C. We're going to read these two prayers of Brother Branham. We're going to read them concurrent, one into the other. So paragraph 45 to 46, 47, the greatest news flash in history. And then paragraph 16, 17, the deep call it to the deep. Just remember, my brother and sister, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about the signs that are showing above us. Think of what's happening as we recall the blood moons, as we recall the Pope visit. Brothers and sisters, this is the fact. This is signs that God is showing us. We are at the end. We are at the end, brothers. We are at the end, sisters. Amen, amen. Let us pray this morning. Lord Jesus, sometimes I wonder if I'm not beside myself when I think of seeing the horrible curse that's coming on this world. When I think of the churches that are trying to be entertainers, trying to copy after the world. Oh Lord, you said, Father, I pray that you take them out of the world. Take the world out of them. Keep them from the world. You pray that they might keep your disciples from the world, we pray. And here they are going right back to the world, trying to compare with the world. God, grant. Help, Lord. Somebody will catch the message. Surely they'll know. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not dead, but alive forevermore. We believe you, Lord. And how can a man believe unless you call him? Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father calls him first. And all my Father has called, will come. And we knew that's right. They will come. And it's just our duty to preach it and let the chips fall wherever they wish to, and the sheep hear the voice. God, surely after speaking of you, of your resurrection, the greatest news flash that ever flashed the world is Christ died for us and is raised again, living in us, moving in us, alive in us, to prove himself in us the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I don't know no greater thing. I pray, dear Jesus, now that many disciples will believe tonight, deeper, that many unbelievers will believe for their first time, that many who are not filled with the Holy Spirit will be filled and become apostles of yours tonight, a great disciple to follow you and to go tell others. May they look upon the Bible and see that you died so that we could have this privilege. May they believe when they see him appear. And may then they leave the church and go tell others that Jesus is alive. May they go with hearts and light feet and light hearts to tell others like Cleopas and his friend did coming from Emmaus. Oh Lord, will you appear before us tonight? Come to our midst and do something for these people, just like you did before you was crucified, that they may know that the message of the hour is true. Truly, you have risen from the dead. And when this life is all over here on earth, the last prayer has been prayed, the battle's all done, smoke's dried up, gone away, arms stuck, the Bible's closed, and we come up to your house, Lord, that great morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the chosen one shall gather to their home beyond the skies, as the poet said, Lord, as we see the great table stretched out there for that supper, thousands of miles long, looking across the table to each other, battle-scarred veterans, tears of joy running down our cheeks, Lord, the King come out in his beauty, holiness, walk down along the table and take his own hands and wipe the tears from our eyes, saying, don't cry no more, it's all over. Enter into the joys of the Lord. The toils of the road will seem nothing then, Father, when we get to the end of the way. And help us tonight, Lord, to forget in these things which are in the past. Let us press the mark of the high calling now. And may your Spirit come and manifest your Son, Jesus Christ, to these people, as I have tried as a mortal, and me too, Lord Jesus, to tell them of you being the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we continue praying, Father God, Lord, we have come to the end of the broadcast, Lord, and truly we are blessed, Lord. I didn't mean to keep the people longer than the time, Lord, but it had to be spoken this morning. Father, the time is at hand, O Lord, and we feel urgency, O Lord. Look what is happening all around us. Help us to understand, to fathom, to know what is taking place around us and to get ready for your coming, Lord. To get more dedicated, to be more consecrated. What is the reason that you're showing these signs? You're showing these signs to warn us that we could become more consecrated. We could become more dedicated. We put aside all the things of the world and the sins that so easily beset us, Lord. Help us this morning, Lord. Those on the internet, touch them, bless them, heal them. Those who listen on the telephone, hook up, Lord, anoint them and touch them. Those that hear the sound of my voice, Father, may you strengthen them. May you bring the backslider in. May you bless the children. May you bless them all. Oh, Father God, Lord, and Father, those who would come on the archives. Oh, Father, quicken them, we pray. Lord, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His glorious face and His mercy to shine upon you. May the blessing of the great risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shine upon you even this day and even forevermore. May God bless you and keep you. Amen and amen and amen. Until we meet again next Saturday, next Sunday, may you have a great week with the Lord. Walk with Jesus. Put your hand in His hand. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen, amen. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. Yeah, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. He's coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are under the blood. I am redeemed. Oh, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are under the blood. I am redeemed. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and been baptized. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. You could talk about me all that you please. You could talk about me all that you please. You could talk about me all that you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Amen. The Lord bless you. Blessing all. Close the name of Jesus with you. Amen. Oh, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take his name wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. And take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptation round you gather, oh, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. Oh, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. And at the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven we crown him. Oh, when our journey is complete. Oh, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless everyone. Keep you in the hollow of his hands. In Jesus Christ's wonderful and precious name. Amen.